Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the music you'll be hearing at the festival this summer. This season, we've designed one of our richest and most enchanting musical journeys yet. Russian Reflections illuminates the great dialogue between Russia and the West, from which Russian classical music grew into one of the most beloved of all musical traditions. Russia's musical culture is as elusive as it is irresistible. The soul of Russian music is impossible to capture with words. It is utterly unique. No one could have invented such a confoundingly glorious tradition. Russia's music is the sui generis expression of her people's experiences. Yet at the same time, many of the elements that distinguish Russian music ultimately defy cultural boundaries: love and death, passion and pathos, struggle and triumph. This summer's seven concert programs bring together Russian and Western composers to magnify the universal resonance of Russia's musical culture. We'll hear the romantic pathos of Rachmaninoff and Shostakovich alongside Schumann, Fauré, and Dvorak. We'll encounter the sophisticated elegance of Tchaikovsky next to music by Mozart and Mendelssohn. We'll marvel at the impeccable craftsmanship of Prokofiev, Taneyev, and Johannes Brahms. Each of these juxtapositions will cast Russia's musical identity into sharp relief, while also revealing an essential character that transcends any cultural divide. Audio Notes are designed to enhance your enjoyment and deepen your appreciation of the music you'll be hearing at the festival. I'll be joined by Artistic Co-Director Wu Han, Audio Notes author and producer Patrick Castillo, and some of this season's festival artists to offer historical and cultural context and a variety of perspectives on this summer's concert programs. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you at the concerts. From the nationalist-minded autodidactism of its beginnings, the modern tradition of Russian classical music bore the unmistakable stamp of its cultural heritage. Glinka and the Five, Balakirev, Borodin, Cui, Mussorgsky, and Rimsky-Korsakov eschewed Western classicism in order to find their own distinctly Russian path. But nearing the turn of the 20th century, as this tradition developed, a new generation of composers embraced the rigorous technical standards of Brahms and others of their Western counterparts, creating a powerful new repertoire. Music as impeccably crafted as the most masterful German scores, yet with its Russian character blazing brighter than ever. Concert Program 6 celebrates the mastery of Russian music in the generation following Tchaikovsky, juxtaposing music by Prokofiev and Taneyev with the Opus 88 quintet of Johannes Brahms, a composer whose craftsmanship remains unexcelled over a century hence.
Though it remains curiously under-recognized relative to much of the rest of his chamber music, Brahms considered his string quintet in F major, Opus 88, one of my finest works, as he proudly attested to Clara Schumann. And to his publisher, Fritz Simrock, Brahms promised, "You have never had such a beautiful work from me." Brahms completed the quintet in the spring of 1882, which he spent in the Austrian resort town of Bad Ischl. The work's character seems indeed to reflect his idyllic environs, beginning with its key, F major, typically associated with pastoral settings. The first movement begins with a bucolic first theme, as beguiling for its melodic charm as for the lush texture produced by the addition of a second viola. The first viola offers a splendid countermelody to the first violin, which carries the tune, while second viola and cello provide a sturdy foundation. First viola comes to the fore to present the second theme. Leisurely triplets, set against flowing eighth notes in the first violin, conjure the relaxed, worry-free air of a lazy Sunday afternoon. A richly sonorous development section follows, furnished likewise by lush ensemble textures and the second theme's 4-against-3 rhythmic profile. The movement arrives at its grandest sonority at the recapitulation's glorious arrival. After a thorough reprise of its primary materials, the movement melts into a pleasantly languorous coda, punctuated by an exuberant final cadence. An equally rich sonority marks the quintet's second movement. In its opening section, each voice moves fluidly between background and foreground, creating a dynamically fibrous texture. The affecting theme comes from Brahms's own Saraband in B minor for solo piano, composed in 1855. This music recurs three times in alternation with two quick interludes, also based on an early keyboard work, Brahms's Gavotte in A major. It's noteworthy in this movement that Brahms summons two Baroque forms. His avant-garde contemporaries of the so-called New German School heeded Franz Liszt's declaration that, quote, new wine demands new bottles, end quote. In other words, that traditional forms were insufficient to such bold new ideas as theirs. Brahms, whose scholarship and reverence for tradition matched his compositional ingenuity, here offers compelling evidence to the contrary. This movement's mere form further demonstrates Brahms's innovation. The quintet comprises three movements rather than the usual four. By alternating these slow and fast sections, Brahms essentially combines slow movement and scherzo into one coherent unit. Time seems to stop in the movement's breathtaking close. The ensemble whispers a pianissimo series of chords, set in each instrument's lowest register, before the first violin traces a delicate upward arc to the featherweight final bar. Western music has known no more consummate craftsman, nor a more notorious perfectionist than Brahms. The Opus 88 Quintet's finale puts Brahms's technical prowess on audacious display. The movement combines two strict musical forms. It's a sonata form movement whose first theme is a fugue. The fugue subject continues as accompanimental material as the first violin issues the movement's soaring second theme. A development section as richly layered as it is joyfully rambunctious follows, permeated throughout by fragments of the first theme's fugal subject. A presto coda, played pianissimo e leggero, serves as a giddy wind-up to the quintet's fortissimo conclusion. A generation after Liszt declared that new wine demands new bottles, a number of early 20th century modernist voices expressly espoused classical values as a means of giving voice to a contemporary perspective. Neoclassicism's chief exponents included Stravinsky, Satie, and Prokofiev. In such works as Stravinsky's Pulcinella and the Rake's Progress, and Prokofiev's Classical Symphony, these composers turned to 18th and 19th century forms, as well as that period's penchant for thematic clarity, in reaction to what they saw as the excesses of late Romanticism. Prokofiev's Flute Sonata in D major, opus 94, offers a prime example of the composer's neoclassical period. The work is cast in four movements and illustrates the thematic and textural clarity valued by the new aesthetic. But equally importantly, the sonata's embrace of classical qualities does nothing to obscure the freshness of its composer's voice. On the contrary, the distillation of its features brings Prokofiev's musical identity into razor-sharp focus. The sonata's first movement begins with a mellifluous theme decorated with florid turns. This genial music flares up suddenly with a circus-like glee. In this juxtaposition of seemingly disparate humors, this opening theme reflects characteristic elements of Prokofiev's language. his keen ear for melody and texture, combined with his sardonic wit. The second theme restores the first theme's limpid grace, but seems to wear a wry smirk. Dotted rhythms and sly chromatic winks trace the music's mischievous modulations from one harmonic area to the next. The start of the development section, with its quick repeated triplets, again suggests a carnival entertainment. This rhythmic elan animates the first theme on its reappearance, complicating its expressive character. After a standard recapitulation, the piano takes an unexpectedly menacing turn in the movement's final measures. The scherzo brings further mischief, here of a rhythmic sort rather than harmonic. Prokofiev willfully obscures the beat, setting the pianist's right and left hands in a jarring hocket as the flute dances playfully up and down the staff. Obsessive repetition of an unnerving motoric gesture in the piano injects a dystopian feeling into this good-natured frolic. Prokofiev has another trick up his sleeve in the central trio section. The music seems to get slower as the piano's steady quarter notes yield to a sustained chord. But though the rhythmic profile becomes static, the tempo pacing the flute melody is actually poco più mosso, a little faster. The character of the music adds to the feeling of something deliciously off-kilter. The Andante third movement appears, on the surface, naive and sentimental, but its chromaticism suggests there's more than meets the ear. The sonata's rondo finale answers with a refrain of spirited hijinks. Thank you. The development of Russian music's classical tradition was catalyzed in the 19th century by the dialectic between nationalist autodidactism and Western-influenced professionalization. In the former camp, Mikhail Glinka, Russian classical music's progenitor, prepared the way for the composers known as the Mighty Handful, who set out to create a distinctly Russian musical language. Opposite these were the Rubinstein brothers, Nikolai and Anton, founders of the St. Petersburg and Moscow conservatories, respectively, whose quest to elevate Russian music to elite professional standards entailed embracing the German classical romantic tradition. Sergei Taneyev, in the last quarter of the century, emerged as the exemplar of the academic camp. His association with the Moscow Conservatory began in 1866, when he matriculated at that institution 2 months shy of his 10th birthday. 3 years later, he entered Tchaikovsky's composition class and subsequently became a piano student of Nikolai Rubinstein. In 1875, Taneyev became the first to graduate from the Moscow Conservatory with a gold medal in both performance and composition. 3 years later, following Tchaikovsky's resignation, Taneyev was appointed to Tchaikovsky's faculty position. In 1881, upon the death of Nikolai Rubinstein, Taneyev took over Rubinstein's piano class. Finally, from 1885 to 1889, Taneyev served as the conservatory's director. His students included Scriabin, Rachmaninoff, and others. The Russian nationalist composers, by and large, focused on opera, orchestral music, and songs, apt vehicles for nationalist expression. Chamber music was more specifically the purview of the Rubinsteins, Tchaikovsky, and their ilk. Taneyev's chamber output includes 6 string quartets, 2 string quintets, and the grand piano quintet in G minor, opus 30, among other works. The rigorous approach to form, impeccable counterpoint, exhaustive investigation of thematic developmental possibilities, and attention to detail found in these works, the piano quintet in particular, call to mind the uncompromising craftsmanship of Brahms. The two composers also shared in common their formidable intellects and unsparing self-criticism. Taneyev has more than once been referred to as the Russian Brahms, somewhat ironic considering his own indifference to Brahms's music. No matter. Taneyev's dedication to his craft places him squarely in league with the German Romantic master. Musicologist David Brown has credited Taneyev with, quote, a compositional skill unsurpassed by any Russian composer of his period, end quote. The piano quintet offers a powerful demonstration of Taneyev's compositional mastery. The work is equally notable for its daunting piano part, which Taneyev perhaps was equal to, but few other pianists are. The athleticism required is surely the only thing that has kept the quintet from becoming a repertoire fixture. The quintet's mighty first movement begins with a slow introduction. An ominous figure in the piano, stated in stark pianissimo octaves, snakes downward to the bottom of the instrument's range. The strings respond in kind, but with a lush, full-blooded texture to foil the piano's wan opening statement. The piano presents the theme at the exposition proper, derived from the slow introduction, but now transformed into a forceful fortissimo statement. As the full ensemble works over the theme, Taneyev's contrapuntal prowess comes to the fore. Thank you. After a series of tentative chords, voiced piano e dolce, Taneyev introduces the tender second theme, driven by opulent piano writing. A vigorous surge of orchestral brawn hurdles the music into the cauldron of the development section. The ravishing sound of the development section's volcanic climax further illustrates Taneyev's facility with the forces at his disposal. The recapitulation has further invention in store, as when a lyrical cello solo, set in the instrument's tenor register, launches an interlude fit for a Hollywood romance. The canvas tautly stretched, the movement ends with an electrifying Piu Mosso coda. Following the no-holds-barred first movement, Taneyev writes a fleet and bright second movement scherzo. At the outset, the strings play ricochet à la pointe, bouncing the tip of the bow, to create a chipper march. This music's clear, transparent texture contrasts the first movement's pseudo-orchestral dimensions. The trio section, marked moderato teneramente, is rich with heartwarming melody. the scherzo arrives at a prestissimo coda. The coda includes two notable features: a two-measure parenthetical reference to the tender trio section, ephemeral but devastating, and just before the movement's conclusion, the artful insertion of a descending scalar motif in the left hand of the piano. Let's hear that again, and listen closely to the bass line played by the piano's left hand. This motif becomes the foundation of the expertly wrought largo, a stately passacaglia. Following the movement's initial declaration, the cello continues the opening theme as the upper strings weave a rhapsodic tapestry. The piano responds with a sublime, dreamlike music. From here, a thoughtful exchange unfolds between piano and strings. As the movement proceeds, a simultaneous dialogue develops between regal largamente and more introspective dolce statements. At moments, the largo evokes Baroque splendor. At its apex, it reaches dazzling heights. The quintet's macho allegro vivace finale starts with a frenzy and never quite gets settled. Instead, Taneyev conjures a swirling Sturm und Drang maelstrom with relish. The movement's unrelenting energy owes in large part to Taneyev's Take No Prisoners piano writing. The attentive ear will catch an allusion to the quintet's opening, leading to a triumphant maestoso passage. ¶¶ This soon dissolves into a newly romantic musical idea that builds to a transcendent climax. But Taneyev saves his amplest firepower for the fortissimo conclusion. At the work's victorious denouement, Taneyev marks the piano quasi-campane, like bells, emphasizing the resounding joy with which the quintet reaches its final measure. Audio Notes is authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Foray's Elegy, performed by Leslie Parnas and Charles Wadsworth. Mussorgsky's Songs and Dances of Death, performed by Morris Robinson and Ken Noda. Rachmaninoff's Trio Elegiac, performed by Alessio Bax, Elmar Oliveira, and Paul Watkins, and Prokofiev's Flute Sonata, performed by Ransom Wilson and Frederick Chu, appear courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Bloch's Nigun, performed by Hagai Shaham and Aaron Ares, appears courtesy of Hyperion Records. Brahms's String Quintet No. 2 in F Major, performed by the Hagen Quartet and Gerard Causset, and Taneyev's Piano Quintet, performed by Vadim Repin, Ilya Gringoltz, Nobuko Imai, Lynn Harrell, and Mikhail Pletnev, appears courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.